Show with your host, Lonnie Clark. We stand together and accept that we now live in a world transformed by Fukushima. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on UCY.TV Radio. We relentlessly engage every ear that listens. We expose and confront the complete lack of accountability for the nuclear industry. Consider social engineering programs who view our bodies, minds, and souls as assets on a balance sheet. We discuss vital current issues, interview activists, and engage our audience in an effort to allow all voices to be heard. The Age of Vision Radio Show creates a venue that all will choose. We encourage our listeners to reclaim their power and their courage to take action and save our planet from the ravages of greed and indifference. Our actions matter. Every voice matters. We remind our listeners that happiness is resistance. Love is greater than fear.
Good morning, UCY.TV radio listeners. This is Lonnie Clark with the Age of Fission radio show. Today is Friday, April 1st, which is Call-In Friday. And I want to welcome you to the show, and I guess it's April Fool's Day. And I guess the joke is on us, isn't it? So let me give you out the number. We haven't heard from any of our callers in several weeks. I've had people on, and it's just been kind of busy Fridays the last few weeks. So the phone number, if you want to call in and give me your opinion, is 718-717-8296. Or if it's not just your opinion, if you want to discuss something of vital importance, I'd be glad to discuss it. As you know, on this show, we talk about really the lies of the nuclear industry and the technologists. They can't be separated, so they are one and the same. And it's really not just the lies of the nuclear industry. I think what shocks me the most is just the complicity, the straight up, the straight up complicity of everybody else on this planet. I live in Eugene, Oregon, and yesterday I woke up to beautiful skies like we did this morning. Blue skies, beautiful blue skies. Spring is coming a little bit too early. It's very eerie here. There's very few birds. I know my friend Ed said there's lots of birds up in Lowell, but Lowell is where the mountains are. But we're in the city here. You know, it's a small town. There are some birds, but not many. It's very bizarre. I mean, it's absent, the birds. Somebody at school even mentioned that. But as we're sitting outside, I was waiting for my friend at school, the chemtrails were crisscrossing the sky. Like, why are they doing this to us? This is not unintentional. You know, when I'm here on Fridays and I get to chit-chat with you and sort of give you my opinion about what I think all of us need to be thinking about, and again, I'm going to steal this phrase from the Richie Allen show when Richie Allen says it's only his opinion. That's like this show. A lot of things that I say really is only my opinion. And, you know, I do get a little bit emotional, but I think that's necessary. I think it's what emotions are for. We were given these emotions to help us navigate how to help our species propagate, how to help us increase our species fitness. The phone number to call in is 718-717-8296. I'd certainly love to hear from you. I am going to talk again about the mass animal deaths. I know I talk about this, and I don't mean to be the voice of doom, but the reason I constantly review this is because we don't have mass protests in the streets. We don't have people responding to me. I don't have multitudes of emails going, oh my God, we've got to organize. We have an emergency on our hands, folks, and nobody is like, huh, there's a handful of people. Kevin Blanch has been screaming his guts out for the last 5 years, since day one, since Fukushima happened. Miss Milky the Clown, who's a YouTuber, has put out awesome videos since day one, you know? And she does not like to be named out specifically by her name, but she's an awesome activist. And that also speaks to our country. When a person who's a really great activist doesn't want to be named because her husband happens to work in the corporate world and she doesn't want to give him any flack, that's kind of sad. It's a sad state of affairs when everybody is coerced or coaxed into silence. So I it's not the voice of doom, but it's also the reason why I am hoping to get Brad Yates back on, the EFT teacher who will teach us of the emotional freedom technique, so we can learn to control our emotions and manage and navigate our way through this disaster that the United States government and the International Atomic Energy Agency has perpetrated on the entire planet. And I am speaking specifically to nuclear. Nuclear is the worst disaster to ever happen on the planet. And don't tell me that coal is far worse. It is not. Coal does not affect your DNA for 4 to 10 generations down the line. Coal does not create genetic mutations in the mass scale that it does with nuclear. Coal does not destroy your quality of life as quickly as nuclear does. It is such an outrage that we have even tolerated this. Look what it is doing to the world. Dead jellyfish in Florida. Thousands of dead jellyfish washed ashore in Hollandale Beach in Florida, America. March 31st, 2016. March 31st, 2016. 61 dead whales, dolphins, and porpoise were washed up over the past 3 months in Cornwall, England. Nobody is disturbed. Listen to this. 8 dead whales have washed ashore this past week in Mississippi. Hundreds of fish die in a pond. Reasons unknown in Pune, India. Unknown. It's called radiation falling from the sky, folks. That's what it's about. It's in our water. It's in our air. It's in our atmosphere. And then we have this. I found a blog this morning, and I don't know that I've come here very often, and so I'm going to read this to you. But when I was reading the titles, I'm super confused about what this guy's position is. TEPCO starts freezing the soil around the Fukushima reactor plants. He's talking about the frozen wall that they're creating. This is by Mari Yamaguchi, March 31st, 2016. I think I've been familiar with this, but frankly, it's been quite a while since I've had the time to actually look at blogs and find some time, so I don't remember. I'm pretty sure I've read this blog before. And the guy seems to be pretty anti-nuclear, but I will tell you what, the ice wall is a dumbass idea. What is an ice wall? Engineers installed 1,550 underground refrigeration pipes designed to create a 1.5 kilometer barrier. That's about almost a mile, 0.9 mile, of frozen soil around four damaged reactor buildings and their turbines to control underground water flowing into the area and preventing radioactive water from seeping out. Their idea is to freeze the radioactive water. These pipes are metered 100 feet deep, are 30 meters, 100 feet deep, and equivalent to a 10-story building. Engineers say coolant in the pipes will freeze in the surrounding soil to minus 30 degrees Celsius, minus 22 Fahrenheit, creating a wall over several months. Wow. That's their plan. Freeze the area around it and cool it down so that what? Why is an ice wall needed? This is what this guy's saying, but he doesn't say how this will work. It doesn't actually explain what is an ice wall, but doesn't exactly give us the details of how it's going to really work. They'll freeze the surrounding area in the soil, but how does that stop? I mean, this is the hottest material in the world. Why don't we see this turning into sludge like we did before? Didn't they try this a few years ago? The insanity, the complete insanity of the life that we're living, you guys, is just my niece this morning. I said, Rudy, you can call in. My niece just moved in with me. And I said, you can call in and ask me, about all this stuff. She's like, well, I'm going to ask you why, stop telling me to stop eating sushi because she still eats sushi. She's 28 years old. My daughter still eats sushi. People still eat sushi. There are still sushi restaurants in the United States and around the world. When we have this mass animal death, the first thing, thousands of dead jellyfish wash ashore on Hollandale Beach in Florida, America. 61 dead dolphins, whales, and porpoises, and people still want to eat fish? For real? People still want to eat fish? Hundreds of fish die in a pond for unknown reasons? Really? 68 wild boars found dead due to disease in the forest of Lukowski, due to disease, due to Chernobyl, you dumbasses. So let me give you the phone number again, folks, 718-717-8296. And I think you can tell the tone of my conversation this morning. We've had a really busy call-in Fridays. The last few weeks have been kind of busy. I've had people interviewed, people have called in. I had Vince Easley on. That was quite interesting to have someone co-host with me. It's interesting on this radio show that we get this venue to talk about issues that are buried underground. And I interviewed Mimi Gurman on Wednesday, and we had quite a bit of problems with the Skype. Now, whether that was intentional by the NSA, or it was my connection, her connection, this is what we call gaslighting, folks. We don't even know anymore. We know we have all the Republicans believe in spying. None of them has said shut down the spying machines. Hillary Clinton says increase the spying machines. This is the country, and we're going to have people go to the polls and vote for these people to be elected. Even though they espouse the thing straight up, it's like Barack Obama. People were shocked that Barack Obama turned into such a corporatist. I wasn't. I didn't support him straight up because he is a corporatist. To be honest, I was voting for Dennis Kucinich, who, unlike Bernie Sanders, was effectively drummed out of the Democratic National Committee's primary campaign. I wish Dennis Kucinich had been able to really get a grasp along his ideas, and his concepts were really great. He is a great humanitarian. I'm going to read to you some of these headlines. I'm sitting here looking at this page. I opened up the mass deaths page. I don't like to do it, but I feel like it's my responsibility to report to people that this is not just us talking. It's not just us going to St. Louis and say, gee, a few people, a handful of people have cancer or genetic birth defects, or they're feeling bad, and we're going to talk about what the government's not doing. The neglect and negligence and denial of effects by the scientists, and I think that is my key. The scientists have got to stop lying. When scientists lie, people die. They are killing our planet with their complicity because they want to make $100,000, $200,000, $300,000, $400,000 a year, or they get a little death threat. I have heard of a scientist who, this is a story. Now, this is an interesting story. I think he either went away willingly, was 86th, or something. But there is a young man that I heard about up in Canada who was a nu who understood, worked for the nuclear industry, worked for them, was starting to speak out, and then all of a sudden, his parents announced that he had died. And then after they gave him a wake and he had disappeared. Now check out this story. He disappeared for a week. And his parents said, oh, yeah, he's dead. Let's have a wake. The whole town came out and grieved the guy, felt bad for him. And then it turns out that they never had the body. They never found the body. Now, the guy, which parents, I know if my child disappeared for a week, would I immediately declare them dead? This is what I'm saying. This is the kind of complicity that allows for the nuclear industry to continue to lie to us. But you know what they can't lie about? The deaths. The death that nuclear causes. Thousands of jellyfish, 61 dead dolphins, 8 dolphins washed ashore in Mississippi, hundreds die in a pond in Peru, 68 boar in Lukovsky, Russia, Lukovsky, 167,000 birds killed due to the quote avian flu again. Here we go, the good old avian flu in Nigeria. Thousands of dead fish wash up in Cape Hillsborough, Queensland, Australia. Thousands. They don't tell us how many thousands. Hundreds of birds. These are all March 29th. I will tell you this, the hundreds of fish, that was the last one reported on March 30th. 29 has four events. Hundreds of dead birds along I-5 in Redding, California. Oh my God. That's sad. 100 dead birds. Large die-off of fish on March 28th in the estuary in Nicaragua. March 28th, hundreds of thousands of fish dead along Indian River Lagoon in Florida. Oh my God, you should see the picture. It's just a massive river filled with dead fish floating up, folks. 19 dead dolphins washed up along the coast in Georgia. 11,000 ducks. I mean, you know, what I ought to do, not that I don't have enough time to actually keep counting numbers, but I think when tax season is over by April 18th, when I'm finished and I can breathe again, I'm going to make some categories. I'm going to put this all into an Excel spreadsheet, and I'm going to make an ongoing list. This would be easy to keep track of since I do report it on the radio show. I'm going to list in everything because I'm not kidding. I'm scrolling down from January 1st to today. There must at least be over 100 reports. This is such an outrage, folks. And we are just picking our noses and drinking our coffee. It's outrageous. You know, I don't know how people can just be complicit with this and just ignore it. What's really sad is we're watching these people die and wash up on shores. You know what happens with human beings? They go to hospitals, get neatly tucked in, and go away, and nobody pays attention to it. And frankly, they're not even keeping track of the oncology rates. As we have discovered, the people of St. Louis have helped us discover just how horrendous the cover-up by the medical industry is. And in the complicity with the nuclear industry and their complete pack of lies. And I'm sitting here watching the window and I am like, unbelievable. Here comes the chemtrail, folks. Plane one starting out. Every morning here in Eugene, about 8 o'clock, 8:15, the chemtrail skies start happening. Why are they doing that to us? What is that all about? And yet, we don't even have a movement for people. You know, when I say this, I'll go into Augsburg at the school and I talk to the students. Augsburg is this like environmental group here that's like activists here in Oregon. And I actually do contribute to them. They have helped. They've stopped some logging. They've done a lot of good things. You talk to them about the chemtrails. You talk to them about, you know, the radiation. And maybe it's because they're students. Their eyes just glaze over. I know one of the students there now is getting a symposium together to discuss the bee collapse. And when I asked her about the chemtrails, she's like, yeah, I hadn't actually thought of that. You know, I gave her some information. I gave her Dane Wigginson's information, and I suggested that she reach out to people and put some of that information out. Because we do know a lot about the chemtrails and how they're affecting the bee collapse. And again, they know they're intentionally collapsing the bee colony. The NRC knows, the IAEA know that these thousands, these large fish die off, the thousands of whales, the thousands of all of it. They know it is really, nuclear has pushed us over the edge. Let's go back to this and read, why is an ice wall needed on this article from Nuclear News, the news that matters about the nuclear industry. Why is an ice wall needed? The cores of three of the damaged reactors melted during the incident. Melted, exploded, folks, and must be cooled constantly to keep them from overheating again. The cooling water becomes radioactive and leaks out through damaged areas into the building basements, where it mixes with groundwater, increasing the volume of contaminated water. Check that out. It mixes with groundwater. And remember, Fukushima was built, there was a, because it's right next to the mountains, there's a river flowing right under the Fukushima nuclear power plant. They thought it was a great idea to have a fresh supply of water. So now that water mixes with the radioactive water, and where do you think it's running to? Right out to sea. Nearly 800,000 tons of radioactive water have been pumped out and treated and stored in 1,000 tanks. That 1,000 tanks, how do you like this arbitrary numbers these guys throw out, that now occupy virtually every corner of the Fukushima plant, interfering with its decontamination and decommissioning? There is no decontamination and there is no decommissioning. It's a nuclear explosion. The thing exploded. There's no decommissioning. The nuclear power plant that's in a triple meltdown and is beyond a meltdown. And adding the further risks of leaks into the nearby ocean. How people can even write these words is beyond me. This is where the cussing starts for me, folks. The complete insanity of who Mr. Yamaguchi, he must live in Japan and has to comply with the secrecy laws. This stuff makes me angry, and I think righteously so. I mean, we have a right to live in a world where we are not being killed off, or where the people who are the perpetrators of this harm have got an obligation to stop lying to us and really seriously stop playing footsie with us. They're killing the planet intentionally, folks. Wow. Okay, so I just opened up ENE News. I'm going to give you our phone number again. It's 718-717-8296. And I am going to encourage anyone who's listening to please give me a call. By the way, I really did want to thank Gary Maserati. I think that's how I say his last name. He is one of my listeners, and he was listening to the interview with Mimi Gurman, heard the dead air when she, hung in there for 10 minutes when we had dead air. We couldn't get on the air. And when during the middle of our interview, at one point, Mimi's phone cut off, so I had to call her back. I think it was because she was saying too much. That's what I think. I think that's how deep the deep government is. They're not going to even let a little pipsqueak like me air anything without giving me a bit of harassment. And I think that's how the world that we live in. Again, my opinion. The phone number is 718-717-8296. But I definitely wanted to thank Gary for his support. He called and left me a message and of encouragement and support, and that does matter a lot to me. I put in, this is a difficult, the hardest part about this difficult fight is that everyone around us, we're like in a big gigantic bin, and everybody's, we're like banging around with a bunch of, we're all like, what do we call us? Like little tennis balls, right? Only I'm a yellow tennis ball in a sea of whites. So they all like, I stick out like a sore thumb. People think I'm kind of hat. They think, oh, here's the radiation lady. That's all she's going to talk about. And frankly, I do have a one-track mind. I cannot forget about radiation when I look at a piece of seafood and I go to the grocery store. Just like I can't forget about the chemicals in bacon. Yeah, bacon tastes great, but it's one of the Kevorkian four. I mean, if you want to die and have an early death and be sick, eat the Kevorkian four. They are a known fact to cause you an early death. So you want to know what the Kevorkian four is? One of them is these processed bacon products, the pork products, bacon, all those chemical foods. That's the second thing. All those luncheon meats, anything with preservatives and chemicals in it, that stuff is just not good for you. Packaged foods. And you want to know what the other one was? Let's see. We have lard. Lard is one of them. Cockroaches will not eat lard, folks. So if a cockroach is not going to eat it, humans ought not to be eating lard. But again, what's it from? Pork fat. So just, like seriously. So don't eat lard. We don't eat packaged food. Anything that's in a package that has like a thing we'd pop open and you hear that, that packaged food like that. Packaged processed foods will cause you heart disease, intestinal disease, organ failure. I mean, that stuff is bad. Look at the health of America from eating all this processed food? You know, it's outrageous. Pork products and bottom feeders on the ocean, mollusks, shrimp, crabs, all those things. And this actually, these Kevorkian four were named long before Fukushima. But the bottom feeders are the things that eat everything. And we've got all kinds of chemical and toxic waste. They've just been dumping toxic waste into the oceans for the last century. So that now all of the bottom feeders really will make you sick if you eat them. So avoid those four. Those are the four to not eat. And so when I look at a piece of sushi, I can't help, or I walk into a place like, when I went to New Orleans and attempted to eat a place of oysters and shrimp, they looked delicious. They smelled great. But guess what? I couldn't eat. I started to eat them and I felt like I was eating poison. And frankly, that's how we all need to be. We all need to be conscientious and demand more of these food producers. You know, it's interesting for me to be going to school right now because I'm taking this class on Native American studies. School started this week. And the anthropology teacher was explaining to us the stratifications of society. Most of you that have gone to college have already know this stuff, but there's a lot of people out there who have not gone to college. And this is the shock to me as I'm getting my college education. People that are educated know the basis and the foundation of these things. Like when I took my oceanography class, they know what's going on with our oceans. This is not an accident. What's happened here is it's the silent complicity that's killing us. We live in a post-industrial era now. We're not even in the industrial era. We're the post-industrial era. And I guess what that means is what? We eat off our arms so that a few people can get rich, and we're just willing to throw our kids at them and let them gobble them down. It's beyond outrageous that people are not. I mean, frankly, it's a contention between my daughter, who has three children. I mean, she and I kind of got a little bit heated. We had one argument over it, and I decided it is not worth getting into and ruining our relationship. However, I honestly don't comprehend how my son-in-law and my daughter can just stay silent while we live in Oregon, right on the West Coast. And I mean, we have a beautiful state here. This is why people live here. It's a beautiful state. And there's a lot of things like you can go to the falls, you can eat fruit right off the tree. We have berries and apples and but you know, to be having the radiation and for people to do nothing. Like, yeah, that's really bad. But you know, there's not much we can do about it. That's actually not true. And it's more than just taking, that's what their attitude is they don't want to get involved. But they are extremely conscientious about their diet, their health, their mental state, which is a part of the reason why they refuse to get engaged, is because they say if they get engaged like this, it causes them too much anxiety and stress, which in my view is a cop-out because we are the adults. It's on our watch. We need every single person to be calling our elected officials and be putting pressure on them to close down these nuclear power plants. We can't do anything about the IAEA, although we can put pressure on our government to force the IAEA to start telling the truth about Japan. Because these reports that Japan had a few nuclear meltdowns and they're decom allow them to use that language. Can you imagine? I wonder if they call what they're doing in Chernobyl decommissioning. I'll have to ask Levi Halevi that very question. Are they considering having to rebuild that sarcophagus that's over Chernobyl? Decommissioning? Is that decommissioning? Is that what the new meaning of decommissioning is? Is we wait for the nuclear power plants to blow up and then we build a sarcophagus over it and say, yeah, we're decommissioning and decontaminating the area. And oh, by the way, everybody in the area is going to drop dead of cancer and you two more generations, you guys probably won't be able to have babies. I mean, that is what we're looking at. I mean, I honestly don't understand how every American is not standing up against the nuclear monsters. And yes, they are monsters. Nuclear is not safe. For all those people that say that nuclear is worse or not as bad as coal, or that the nuclear industry really is really just a is that I'm just exaggerating the deaths. Look at the real, look at what really happened when John Goffman, Arthur Tamplin, and Linus Pauling studied what happens with nuclear. The facts of that science has not changed. You know what has changed? The American Medical Association has decided to comply with the murderers. They do not keep track of the oncology rates of where people were born in relation to their exposure to radiation. They have raised the limits of allowable deaths. In order for us to have nuclear power, we know that so many people every year are going to die, and we're going to have so many birth defects. Now, the rates have been raised, so I don't know these statistics, but prior to Barack Obama and prior to Fukushima happening, you know, Barack Obama just complied. The rates were this. The government allowed 32,000 cancers every year and over 200,000 birth defects every year for every 2 rads in the air for a population of 2 million people. That's what they allowed. It is way worse now. So this is only going to get exponentially worse. I think about this when I'm listening to Jules's radio show, when she's talking about the nanotechnology and I forget that other word where they're trying to create humans and machines and all that stuff. They mix it all up. I mean, you know, this is why a long time ago I told Kevin Blanchett, I really identified with the post-ignorant project because I'm post-ignorant. You know, you don't know what you don't know until you know you don't know it. And boy, is that the motto for America. You don't know what you don't know until you know you don't know it. And we don't know, Jack, folks. Well, there's a lot of things we don't know. But guess what? We're knowing. We're finding out and we're getting there. And at some point, the masses are going to rise and just say no. We're going to have a gigantic welcome, man. We are going to have one big gigantic strike. And nobody is going to make us go. So hold on. We have a caller. So hold on. Good morning. You're on the Age of Fission radio show with Lonnie Clark. Who am I speaking with?
This is Gil.
Hi, Gil. Thank you for calling in.
Am I on the air?
You are live on the air.
Oh, okay, because I'm not hearing it on my internet connection, but that's okay.
Well, maybe I don't know how that works. Maybe it's so that there's no feedback on the radio. I'm not the producer, but that would be my guess.
Okay, well, Lonnie, I just wanted to say that I have listened to all of your talk shows.
You have? Thank you.
And several of your YouTube presentations, and I really appreciate what you're doing.
Thank you. That means a lot to me. I really appreciate you calling in and letting me know. That's very, very kind of you. Well, I'm glad that you appreciate it. And let me ask you, do you agree with me about the outrage? Like, we all need to get actively engaged in whatever area that we can?
Well, I have some points I'd like to make about that.
Okay, great.
And I think I understand the outrage, and I understand you wanting to do something about that's perfectly reasonable. But I don't know if that's a direction that's going to be effective. And the reason for that is, if you look back, millions of people, you know, marched against going into Iraq. Millions of people were against the bank bailouts, and they went ahead and did it anyway. And I think you said it best recently when you said they're giving the elected officials a choice. Do you want to be rich or do you want to be dead?
Mm-hmm.
So I think because of the situation that we're in, that, I mean, look at St. Louis. Look what they've been trying to do for
right.
So many years.
Look what they are doing. It's not trying. They've done it. Mission accomplished. I mean, when Bush said mission accomplished, he did not mean Iraq. That's a for real thing. He did not mean Iraq. He meant we now have a complete fascist state. It's all in place. Nobody can do jack to change it. That's what I think.
Right. And And with Fukushima, I think it's a hard reality, and I'm in denial just as much as everybody else. But, you know, can life, and you were talking earlier about all the dead animals that are washing up, but when you think about it, can life withstand 300 years of daily Fukushima radiation?
Right. No, it cannot.
No. So,
but
I
that does
feel
not
that
mean we can't find a solution. See, my thing is this, Gil. We must demand the scientists to start being scientists, because I really believe that there is a solution they have not even begun to look for. They have been twisting like pretzels to try to figure out how to lie to the people, because in order to find the solutions, they're going to have to spend big money and do things in a completely different way, and it's going to have to come out that, guess what? They really have not been spending it. I don't believe this. Like, this ice wall is a ridiculous idea in my view. There are other things they could be examining, but they're choosing not to because it doesn't conform with their preconcepts of reality. Like, for me, I think that the sound healing is I think sound healing will be the way to go because it changes things at a molecular level.
Well, I'm hearing things from other sources, like Kevin, for instance, and I really admire what Kevin does, and I keep up with him, too. He said there's no turning this off. And from what I'm hearing from other sources, that's probably true.
Yeah, that's the catastrophe of it. See, he's correct because that is the fact. Fukushima, Dane Wigington termed it correctly. Do you listen to geoengineering on UCY TV?
I listen to UCY TV practically most of the day when I'm at home.
Me too. So Dane Wigington says he calls it the Fukushima volcano. That's what we have. It's a Fukushima volcano. Now, I think it, to me, logically speaking, this is what I mean. I think it's going to cause such a catastrophic event. We're going to start having the Earth is going to upheaval. You know what I mean? At some point, it won't be able to take it. Earth is going to say, okay, enough, explode from the inside out, and we're all going to start all over. And, you know, my goal is for us to have a few humans that can actually survive and make it through and rebuild, because obviously, and we don't know when this is going to happen, but you are correct. 300 years of the Fukushima volcano means extinction of all life on the planet.
Right, and like I think you or Kevin or somebody had said, you know, on top of that, what we've discovered is the whole country is a radioactive waste site.
Yes, it is.
I think
St. Louis has
shown that. So the planet's being bathed in radiation.
And my chemtrails, you can't separate them. See, this is why, like, I'm fascinated by this chemtrail thing, because Dane Wigington mentioned this, that the chemtrails and the nuclear industry started at the same time. So I think that there is some connection to this that we don't know about. There has to be something that those two things go together. So because between the two, it's a complete blanket of destruction of life on the planet.
Yeah, I agree, I think, well, one reason why I haven't called in, and I really think maybe it may be for other people too, is we love listening to you give us information because we're so starved for information. I mean, you really have to go to ENE News or Rents Radio or Kevin or Miss Milky or Christine Consolo to find out, you know, what is really going on.
Gil, I do the same thing. Me too. I follow all those sites. I love Nuclear Hot Seat. She does a really great, a lot of work, interviews people that I didn't even know exist. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Everybody finds people that, and this is one of the things that like Patty Amino and I were talking about. Patty says what we need to do is make it, I'm actually going to be connecting with somebody in this next term over how to organize, because I do not know how to do that part, obviously, because Kevin and I started the Post-Ignorance Project, but neither of us had the skills to organize masses of people. What we need, Patty Amino was saying, we need a union of anti-nuclear, some type of a union where people can gather and have their own organizations around, so we have a collective voice where we can sit at a panel and have people who can represent us and say, wait a minute, and fight back, because we have a bunch of activists. Probably at near every single nuclear power plant, there's always probably 5-10 people who really get how dangerous it is. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But those 5 or 10 people in a sea of hundreds of thousands or millions of people is not enough to actually make a difference. So if we had a collective union, maybe we could create something like that.
Let me throw this out and see what you think. If the reality is true, like we said, 300 years of nonstop nuclear volcano from Fukushima, and our lifespans are now even more limited, wouldn't it, and our elected officials are probably not going to do anything, because like you said, they get a choice of being rich or being dead, wouldn't it be better to focus on your health, focus on your relationships, focus on your your family and your life? So why put all this energy and time into organizing or trying to do something when they're not going to do anything anyway? And at this point, what can they do?
Look, this is what I think. I think our thoughts, for everything I've learned about in my life, our thoughts are things. We have a collective, more than our actions, it's our thoughts, our energies. Our thoughts are things. We do need to focus on our health and our family, but guess what? There's plenty of time for all of that. I'm not saying everybody has to like stop what they're doing, but you know what? We all can put pressure on our elected officials to start having some conscience. Put pressure on the scientists to like start pushing back against their employers and go, I'm not going to do that. And if it means that you have to become a grocery store clerk and we don't have any scientists for 20 years, that's what's going to happen. But believe you me, that won't happen, because big business needs science. It's about making money. We live in a capitalistic culture and civilization. And whether, you know, and so for me, I think it's important for us to speak out and use our voice in ways that we can. So our collective thoughts, our collective energy creates an energy that will change the thoughts of the people who are resisting us. The people who actually think that money is the only thing that matters, and it doesn't matter if we lose. Who cares if we lose half the species on the planet? We can grow them in a, you know, they think they can just grow them in a laboratory anyway. So those are all those biotechnologists. Do you know what I'm talking about? That's what Jules talks about. She talks about that's the logic of all these biotechnologists. That's why they're doing these like weird science experiments on us, because they know the shit has hit the fan. You know what I mean? Like they're just trying to figure out, okay, how do we survive this? And instead of actually addressing the harm that it causes and warning people and figuring out ways to help people survive and thrive, not just survive, we deserve to thrive. That's why I think it's important for us to learn EFT so we can shake it off, because really our lives are short, maybe 100 years. You know, and with the nuclear stuff, okay, maybe our lives are going to be only 60 years or 40 years. But guess what? There's still 40 years of life that we get to choose to live with our family and be with the people that we love and express ourselves with the joy and happiness that we all deserve. And we have it. The love that we have well springs from our heart, Gil. This is the thing that we cannot. I believe that humans, when we're at our best, we cannot be suppressed. We have a heart that only can, it's kind of like the Grinch whose heart, you know, like bing, 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 his heart grew bigger, bigger, bigger. What a great concept that was. And actually, that was part of all that whole manipulation of consumerism. So you see how these technologists sort of twist with their heads. I mean, this is, ever since I learned about Edward Bernays, like the light bulb went off, because I grew up, at 4 years old, I could tell time because the television would come on at 4 o'clock every day. And I began to associate when the television came on at 4 o'clock. That's what time it was at 4 years old. No one even told me, and I just taught myself. But it's because of the television, the technology. I was probably the first technology kid, one of the first. You know, the last 100 years, our species has, in this civilization anyways, survived in harmony with the earth until we have, the Western world is pushing us apart from working in, this is the antithesis of what we're living with. This is what I think right now. It's the antithesis. This is the pinnacle of it all. We're completely separating ourselves from nature, which is why we're having all these mass deaths, and people's are, they're sad, they're shocked, but they don't think it's part of them. But I contend that, have you read that book, Death by Medicine?
No.
Oh my God, it'll shock you. It was written about 10 years ago. In the United States, 1 million people get killed at the hands of doctors and hospitals just by sheer neglect and malpractice. 1 million people a year, over 900,000 every year in the United States. That was 10 years ago statistics. It's probably worse by now. Now, we're not really keeping track. Like, this is what I said earlier in the show. The United States and the AMA, we're not, the nuclear industry is so deep. The deep state is so, so deep. So I think it's important for us to live our lives, be happy, love our family, and speak out. Find time, carve out a piece of time. It doesn't have to take over your life, because it does create a pushback. It does create a change. Our thoughts are going to generate, we're going to change their thoughts with our thoughts. Our collective mass, well, it's the million, what's that called, the 100th monkey theory? Have you heard of that?
Yes, but I can't remember.
You know, something, a monkey out in Malaysia started doing a new idea, and then one monkey did it, and then another, and then around the world, for some reason, the same monkeys were doing it around the world without even knowing why they did it, because collectively it creates an energy. We're electrical beings. We're not the physical thing that we look at a quantum level. We're deeper than that. That's what Deepak Chopra teaches.
Okay, let me ask you this. Going along that train of thought, if the masses knew the reality, if everybody was aware of the reality of, you know, Fukushima or Hanford or all
Louis,
these things
yeah.
going on, St. Louis and everything, would that create an enlightenment, or would that create panic and fear and bizarre behavior?
Well, I think that we're at that panic and fear and bizarre behavior. I think we're at that point. I think people do know. And I think the bizarre behavior is continuing to eat fish that you know is radioactive. That is a form of panic. You know what I mean? That is a form of panic. Like, I'm gonna pretend like that's not real. Like, this is why I think it's important for us to learn about EFT, meditation, take action to remember that life is short and is still beautiful regardless. We still have a magnificent earth. There's still plenty of things that we can do. We are not over. We do not have their paradigm, their story, their agenda does not have to be ours. What they're telling us is the reality is not our reality. It's their reality they're imposing on us. They want us to believe that, ooh, if everybody found out it's all going to be over, we're going to be in a panic, we're all just going to lay down and die. No, screw you, their paradigm. We're magnificent human beings. We have more power. We use a very small percentage of our little brains. We have big brains that we could make actually exercise and make it work. And I think that we have an ability to coalesce around the thought process. So that's why I think it's important for us to actively engage. And I agree, though, Gil. Do not get consumed by it, because guess what? It does. It will make you feel pointless. It's,
yeah.
You know, because it's going to take the collective whole to get it done. You know what I mean? This is why, like, I didn't get disheartened when the Post-Ignorance Project, when Kevin and I parted ways. I didn't really get disheartened, because Kevin does his own great activism in his own vein, his own thing. Because we couldn't figure out how to make it work between the two of us does not mean his activism is not great, does not mean that I don't have a voice of my own to share and an ability to help other people get going on their own. You know, because it's not just me, him, or just a handful of people that you mentioned. We all need to, like, start a little bit, believe in our own ability to make a difference. And that's why I continue to speak out, because I think that we have that ability, but we're constantly telling ourselves we can't, we can't, we can't. And I think that we can. And, I, you know, maybe I'm the little engine that could.
Well, I also think that, like we just mentioned, that those of us who are paying attention, those of us, and I hate to use this term because it's used all the time, that are awake, we feel so overwhelmed with the reality. And so I think when people are overwhelmed with reality, they find their distractions. I know I do. It's like, okay, I can't think about this anymore today. I got to focus on something else.
Well,
and
that's
think,
actually a good thing. That's called reality, Gil. Like, you shouldn't be focusing on it all the time. I mean, it's a hard reality because we can't change it. Like, as the show's gone on, two more chemtrails have gone over my head in opposite directions. And the sky is beginning to fill up with a haze. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I can't focus on that all the time because guess what? I'm not going to stop that. But what we can focus on is making a resolve that when it really does, the shit hits the fan, because we have not hit the climax of it all. We have not hit the denouement where it's going to start going downward on a fast slope. We're still headed up to the destruction peak. And so when it does, my focus is when that does happen, is that humanity will keep its head, believe in itself, understand that there's a lot of joy to be had, and our path out of this destruction is through connecting with the joy that we have and our intellectual capacity. And thank God we got thumbs. We can build things. You know, like, honestly, we really have a lot of gifts as human beings. And it is our obligation, I believe, as co-creatures on this planet to, like, do what we can to correct the mess that we've allowed to happen. But that doesn't mean we have to focus on it all the time.
Well, I just want to say one more thing because I didn't want to take up your whole show because I really want to hear more what you have to say today.
Yeah.
But you had Mimi Gurman on, I think it was Wednesday.
Yes.
And she is a fantastic, fantastic lady, and she has so much knowledge. So I'm hoping you will have her on again.
She is.
So we can learn more. I really enjoy listening. Well, I enjoy listening to you, but I enjoy listening to her. But Wednesday, I think we could have had a little bit more, maybe pulled it out of her, more of her opinions and more of her knowledge. So I'm hoping you'll have her on again.
I will tell you, I hung up the phone and called her back and rescheduled her, to be honest. She is going to be back on, and she is going to come back on when she is going to be back on. She didn't want to, she has a lot going on, so she didn't want to come back in May. We calendar her for June 1st. So all of her May is taken up and most of her April is taken up. So I said, okay. But we, you know what? Let me share with you this because that's a nice idea here, Gil. This is what I have calendared for the next month. We're going to have on a gentleman on Wednesday. His name is Richard Mackinon. He's just a gentleman who listens to the radio show, who lives in Oklahoma and has firsthand experience about fracking in Oklahoma.
Oh.
And so I'm very interested to hear what he has to say. It's kind of like, you know how I interview the citizens of St. Louis and we learn a lot about living there just by hearing their stories. That's what's going to happen with him about the Oklahoma fracking. And then on the 13th of April, we have Chuck Johnson from Oregon Physicians for Social Responsibility. And he is going to be talking about what Mimi did, shutting down the Columbia Generating Station. He and Mimi work hand in hand quite often. And then on the 20th of April, I have calendared a pre-recorded video that I did with Libby Halevy. You may have known the big kerfuffle that happened with Dana Durnford when she made a remark about the thing. Did you hear about that?
Oh, yes, I heard that,
so
and I was very disconcerted.
Yeah, well, you know what? People make mistakes, and it was an innocent mistake. She just was busy and just made a quick remark, but it was a great – I personally appreciated it because it helped me understand – why the quote anti-nuclear movement does not actively engage with the YouTube, because there is an attitude of a difference between the two. And, you know, we saw that, many of us saw that John Oliver video about the conspiracy theorist nut jobs from YouTube. tribes. Did you see that this last week? It was
No, I haven't seen that.
Well, look it up because just type in John Oliver and conspiracy theory. He just did like a quick video about the idea that any of us on YouTube who are jumping up and down and freaking out over Fukushima are, you know, hot-headed lunatics and conspiracy theorists. Very interesting. So, but I adore Libby Halevy. I love her work. And I think Dana Dernford got over it. He doesn't care. So we just waited for this interview a long enough time for all the emotions to calm down. So this pre-recorded interview is going to be on the 20th of April. And then on the 27th of April, I'm going to have Donna Gilmore back, who, again, like Mimi Gurman, is a plethora of information.
Yeah.
I mean, so I really appreciate her. So that's what's happening in the next month. So yes, indeed, we are. This is why I think these interviews are valuable, because I, like you, Gil, believe it's very important for us to hear it from people who have actively been engaging and know, understand, like Donna Gilmore understands the ins and outs of being in the nuclear, going to these meetings with the NRC. She has the time. She's retired. She can go to the Coastal Commission hearings. That's what they count on, in my view, is, you know, people are too busy. Like me, I work, go to school. I cannot attend much of this stuff. So
yeah, if you could get Radchik on. I know she's been ill.
I know.
Christine Consolo. She is a wealth of information, and so is Yochi Shimatsu, and of course, Kevin and Dana and people like that. But You're doing a great job.
Well, this
you
is
really
why
are.
I'd love to have Dana on, and Kevin has his own show, so you know what I mean?
That's true. I listen to Kevin, too, yeah.
Right. So, but I do want to have Dana back on. I'm hoping that he can come back on soon. He was involved, you know, with some other things, so we didn't really want a calendar. We wanted to wait to see where that went. So I'll be in touch with him shortly. Hopefully we'll be able to have him back on because, you know, Dana Dernford actually studied the nuclear industry he was telling me 7 or 8 years before Fukushima happened. He was investigating uranium mining because the Queen's heavy in uranium mining. So he was looking at all of that. So this is why he knows a lot about it. So we have people who, like Patty Amino, people who understand this stuff at a deeper level and help us learn how to become active, help teach us how to ask the right questions. And frankly, I think they role model on how to cope with it because they've been dealing with it for a long time. Like Mimi, she understands all of this, but she focuses on her garden. She has a big garden where they just give away food to the homeless people. They go down and give food away when it's springtime. What a fabulous idea. You know, like she is a great activist. So thank you, Gil, for calling. We have 1 minute left. Is there anything you'd like to say? Because I really appreciate our conversation and frankly, your support. That is super awesome. And thank you for listening to this radio station.
Well, thank you for all that you do.
Well, you're welcome. And I kind of feel compelled to do it. And I hope other people will feel compelled because it doesn't have to consume our lives. And I genuinely believe if we each did a little tiny bit, the bucket would get filled and tip over in our favor. So that's what I'm hoping for, you know, the eternal optimist in me.
Well, thanks for having me on your show. And I guess I better let you go.
Thank you. Okay. Have a great day.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
So that was Gil, one of our callers. That was very sweet of you to call in, Gil. I really appreciate it. You know, we have 30 seconds left. Thank you for listening to the Age of Fission radio show, and thank you for listening to UCY.TV. Thanks, Jules, for giving us this opportunity to, you know what, hopefully get people actively engaged. Put your courage feet on, folks. Take some action. Every little bit helps. Every voice matters. You know, we are not assets on their balance sheets. Their paradigm is not ours. We'll talk to you guys on Monday.